Five Live from the BBC. A national shortage of drugs for ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, has caused many of those living with the condition to experience high levels of stress and anxiety. The Department of Health and Social Care says an increase in global demand and manufacturing issues are behind the shortage, which started in September and is expected to continue until at least next month. If this has affected you, we'd like to hear from you tonight, 0808 509 693. Henry Shelford has ADHD himself. 4 years ago, he set up the charity ADHD UK in order to try and raise awareness of the condition.
ADHD medication, many people will talk about it being completely life-changing, and myself included. And as an analogy, you know, it's the way it's been whipped away from people. So we had this notice in September, national patient alert, saying medication wouldn't be available, and it almost instantly wasn't. We were told it'd be fixed by December, and it wasn't. We're now being told April and into April. And, you know, my personal prescription was in with the pharmacist for 28 days. It's just expired. For almost an entire month, it's not been able to be filled. And
but what does it do to you? What's it feel like without it? How do you know that you haven't had it?
Sure. Well, as an analogy, we talk about it's very similar the way medication's not there. It's similar to, say, taking a wheelchair away from a disabled person that needs it, in that the person doesn't die. They can't work in the same way. They can't live in the same way. They can't be friends with friends and family in the same way. And that's exactly what's happened with people with the disability ADHD having the medication taken away. And in terms of, you know, the difference, obviously, ADHD is a really difficult condition to live with. And we know that most harshly through the suicide figures. We know that 1 in 10 men or boys with ADHD will at some point try and take their own life. And it's 1 in 4 women or girls with ADHD will at some point try and take their own life. And one of the, you know, in terms of the difference it makes, like, you know, I have faulty focus. It's either cascading away onto one thing to another, to another, to another, or zooming in, and I find myself in hyper focus for hours and hours and hours. And that's great if it's the right thing. I mean, those are my glorious moments, but it's terrible if it's the wrong thing. And it's every single aspect of my life, right? From when I get up in the morning to when I go to bed, like, my focus just isn't under my control. And the name's terrible. Attention deficit is not a deficit of attention. It's a lack of control of attention. And it can only be, you know, we fall into a trap of people thinking that their experience, because, you know, having a challenge with focus, a bit of procrastination is part of the human experience. It's just our level is a completely different level, in the same way that sadness isn't depression, anxious on a first date isn't chronic anxiety. You know, a normal person's experience with focus isn't ours. Ours, you only can get you can only be considered to have ADHD if it's having a debilitating impact on your life. And without question, that's me.
And you've been without this medication for how long now?
So I've been very lucky. So I've been able to get different strengths of the medication, so I've not had gaps. I've not had to ration. Most people have. Most people have either had huge gaps, none at all, or had to ration. You know, we talk to parents and families where both say the parent and the child is on medication, and the parent's giving it up for the child. And it has been very challenging to not be able to have your brain work in the way you've started. You know, you've learned, you've now been able to rely on, so a bunch of your capacity just gets ripped away. And it's actually deeply stressful to be on this precipice of, like, will I or won't I be able to work next week? Like, will I be able to, you know, be present for my kids next week? Like, will I be able to even reliably get the shopping done? Like, it's just, and you just don't know. And that is actually pretty hard.
What's behind the shortage?
It's a complete failure of one particular manufacturer. Has a large market share, and they have for their entire world supply, they have just two factories, one in North America, which is restricted by North American government on precursors. So they actually have a shortage problem there as well. And then they have one in the Republic of Ireland, and it's had a catastrophic failure in its packaging. which means the right amount of medication in each pill and the right amount of pills in each bottle. And that's meant they've not been able to supply the entire world. And it's a complete failure of their systems. It's a complete failure to just have all your eggs in two baskets, not have more more manufacturing, more lines to not have this incredible risk. It's also a failure of the NHS. Like, they have no management of this. They have no stock. They have no visibility of the component chemicals and no really visibility of the manufacturing. They just rely on the market. And actually, we're seeing in Europe, they are making changes to that. So they are starting to monitor precursor chemicals to have an understanding of manufacturing, because these shortages, you know, are hugely impactful and a huge problem. And actually, if there was more factories in terms of distributing your line to distribute your risk, we wouldn't have been in this situation right now. And the Royal College of Pharmacists on Wednesday have announced that they've put together a special working group with an aim of giving the government some advice on ideas on how to deal with this, because they're on, you know, they're on the front line of this. Like, and honestly, like, the government's response has been just one step above breathtakingly useless. Like, they've just done nothing except paper over with some pathetic words to suggest that they have some kind of policy. And it's exactly the same as when the post office was talking about its robust Horizon system. It was just words to put a veneer on a completely failed system that actually wasn't working. And instead of getting to grips with it and putting things in place that would actually help.
The numbers, though, the demand for medication has gone up, hasn't it? When I look at the figures for April to June 2023, they show that 202,000 individuals in England received a prescription for ADHD. That's compared to 103,000 in the same period, 2018-19. So in what, 5 years, it's nearly doubled? What's going on?
It really is only our condition that suffers, and I understand it's an important one to raise, and it's good to be able to respond to it, that suffers that challenge, right? You know, we'll see articles in the paper. This was not so long ago. There was a celebration of the increase in HRT and a celebration of Davina McCall and the fact that more women were getting that support and help through that medication. And it was great. And then 5 pages later, it's ADHD. It's gone up again. This is terrible. What's going wrong? These are people coming forward. We've talked through the suicide numbers. We've talked through how hard it is. These are people coming forward to come and get help and support. And that should be celebrated. We have failed ADHD continuum, right? We only recognized it in the UK in the year 2000 for children, 2008 for adults. We are underdiagnosing, and we're only beginning to get help to people.
Finally, Henry, in your personal experience, how has your life been with ADHD?
It has been indescribably tough. I do hate how every aspect of my life is touched by it, and often some of the difficulties I have. And sometimes, even when I'm really playing with people and say, like, look, my brain is different, I need this in just a slightly different way. And, we're at a point where people really still really don't understand ADHD, and they don't understand how important I'm asking this. For them, it's seemingly relatively small and minor thing, but for me, it's absolutely life-changing. I would say, like, then finding out I was diagnosed in my early 40s, I'm just turned 50, and the ability to change my life and to be able to achieve what I set out to achieve has just been completely turned around. And that is wonderful, but it does still remain very, very difficult. And I'm sad to say that every single stage of my life has had huge difficulties because of it. And I wish that weren't so.
That's quite sad, actually, when you say it like that, every bit of your life. But are you able to be in yourself happy? Are you able to achieve whatever it is that you want, be it as a career, be it relationships, be it contentment in yourself?
I have some wonderful things in my life. I'm trying desperately hard not to mark them up.
Okay. Listen, thank you. I'll not probe any further, but thank you so much for being on with us tonight. I really appreciate it, sir. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the government says they've taken swift action to improve the supply of ADHD medication. They say they know some challenges remain and understand this may be distressing for patients and families.
Listen on BBC Sounds. This is BBC Radio 5 Live.